You got all your shopping done? Got all your partying done? No? Yes, ma'am.
And what time?
I said 6. Most people are off on Christmas Eve by that time. We may make it a little bit earlier, maybe at 5.
Are we going to have a service too?
No, just come and go communion service.
So then how? So you guys don't like the candle without us then?
Am I going what?
Like the candle without us?
The candle without you?
Candle be lit when you get here. Okay. That way we won't fight lightning. Amen. Let's pray. Give you glory, Lord. Lord, you give me simple words to say today. Just bless our heart with them, Lord. You said faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We want to hear your voice today, Lord. Thank you for each one in this room today, this, what we call the sanctuary, Lord. We give you praise for each one. I just know that inside each one, we want to be more like you. And I just ask you, quicken that truth to us. And let us not leave here like we came, in Jesus' name. Lord, you purchased at Calvary our freedom. Bonnie talked about being free today. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. The Lord, free us up. Take away the things that keep us down or subdue us, Lord God. Minister to us, and Holy Spirit, speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you that we've had 2 blessings here lately. Our air conditioner went out a couple weeks ago, and I called some people to come look at it, and they got it running again. And didn't charge anything to the church. Amen. And our copy machine gave up the ghost. And looked like we were going to have to spend some money for that. And they donated a new machine for us, a newer machine. They welcomed us into the 21st century. They couldn't get parts for our machine anymore, and so they took our machine away and gave us one that they have parts for. So, hallelujah. We're blessed. We're blessed. Free of charge. No charge. Yes, Perlin. I'm not positive of the air conditioning people. It's Air Systems, I think is what the name is. It's in the Newport Fire Station, the old fire station, their office right there. And the copier was Budget Business Machines in Hitchcock. We've had them for 25 years or more, too, that they've taken care of us with copy machines, but they get the used ones in, and they rebuild them, and then sell them as workable units, and they do maintenance on them, and it's a good deal for us because the brand new ones are priced out of this world. Maybe so. Well, I want to let you laugh a little bit here. We start this message. A man sent his friend a cryptic Christmas card. It said A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. The recipient puzzled over it for weeks. He finally gave up and wrote asking for an explanation. A few months later, he received the explanation on a postcard. It said, no, N-O-L. Come on, some of you slow. In the alphabet, he left out the L. No L. A Christmas card. Come on now, come on. No L. That, I can see that some of you just got an idea. One day during a children's sermon, this particular pastor was telling the kids about how the angel came to Mary to tell her about how she would bring Jesus into the world. One little girl seemed puzzled about this whole scene. Then another child asked what I thought the first thing Mary would have asked for after the angel left her. Instantly, this little girl that held back, she said, I bet she asked for a little help from Joseph. While a man had gone out driving to do some Christmas shopping, his wife had been watching TV when she heard the announcer say, be very careful and watch driving on I-5 today. There's a motorist driving the wrong way. Man's wife reached him on a cell phone to warn him. His reply was, you're telling me there are hundreds of them out here. One more. Two young boys were spending the night at their grandparents' house the week before Christmas. At bedtime, the two boys knelt beside their bed to say their prayers. The younger one began praying at the top of his lungs. I pray for a new bicycle. I pray for a new Nintendo. The older brother leaned over and nudged him and said, why are you shouting? God isn't deaf. To which the little brother replied, no, but Grandma is. Hallelujah. Now, the following is a real story. Every year at Christmas, my parents and I would play this game, this cat and mouse game. They'd try to keep what I was getting for Christmas a secret, and I'd try to find out what it was. One year, I made them mad and upset. My mother had wrapped my presents. Back then, I got all of two. I simply walked into her room, I picked every package up, and I told her what was in them. Naturally, it took the surprise out of Christmas. However, don't be too troubled when those kind of things happen, because Christmas is filled with surprises. Amen? Everything about Christmas is unexpected. Everything is a surprise. Even Jesus was a surprise. Jesus came at an unexpected time. Jesus came to unexpected people. And Jesus came to an unexpected place. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Amen.
Right to it.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Of course, the biggest surprise at Christmas is that God loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. I hope that generates an amen out of you.
Amen.
Now, I want to talk about these surprises, the three I listed there a few minutes ago. Jesus came at an unexpected time. Jesus came to unexpected people, and Jesus came to an unexpected place. Let's begin with the first one. Jesus came at an unexpected time, and let's read the first three verses that we just read a minute ago. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Everyone came to his own city. Have you ever heard the phrase, it just happened? It just happened. When it comes to the birth of Jesus Christ, there is a considerable problem with that statement. The prophet Micah had prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. But Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth. Jesus, the Messiah, was being born to Mary and Joseph, so how were they going to get to Bethlehem? Just happened that it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the world should be registered. Jesus' birthplace was determined in part by the need to fill out the census, which meant registering to pay taxes. That was the theory behind the census. In case you haven't figured out, I don't believe anything just happens. I don't believe that. Verse 3 tells us that all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. So Joseph was required to go to his hometown to register. And who can guess the name of his hometown? Bethlehem. It just happened that it was Bethlehem. Amen? Then it just happened that Bethlehem was the city of David. Amen? And it just happened that the Messiah was supposed to come from King David's lineage and be born in David's city. So let me ask you, do you believe that things just happen? What really happened was God needed to get Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So you know what God did? He whispered in Caesar's ear, "Hey, Caesar, you know what you ought to do? In your highly regarded position, it would be wise for you to make a decree that everyone under your authority should register in a census. And they must all go to their original hometown to register and just see God whispering." So Caesar said, "Hey, let's take a census." God acted as he's always acted throughout history to bring his sovereign will to to pass. Caesar's decree went out in God's perfect timing, folks. It went out in God's perfect timing, according to God's perfect plan, to bring his son into the world. Benjamin Franklin, in remarks to the Continental Convention on June 28th, 1787, said, "I have lived, sir, a long time." He was 81 years old when he said this. "And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men." God governs in the affairs of men. God intervened at the appointed time when his son Jesus was to enter into the world. I believe that God is intervening now in preparation for his son to come a second time. He's preparing things. He's doing things. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 through the first part of verse 10, it says this: "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And then the first part of verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night," when it's unexpected, a surprise. Just as God orchestrated the perfect order of events when Jesus came the first time, so he's orchestrating everything concerning those events which preempt Jesus' second coming. And folks, just as surely as Jesus came the first time, Jesus is coming the second time.
Amen.
Amen. Though he first appeared as a vulnerable infant born in a stable, bringing salvation to the world, his second coming will introduce him as the warrior king riding on a white horse, bringing justice to the world. In his first coming, Jesus arrived quietly, but when he comes the second time, a mighty trumpet will sound as he makes his glorious entrance. When he came the first time, only a few people bowed to him. But when he comes the second time, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The second surprise of Christmas is Jesus came to unexpecting people. Unexpecting people. Joseph and Mary. Who is Joseph? In preparing this message, I did some research to find out about Joseph. You know what I found? Almost nothing. Almost nothing. He's not mentioned in Mark at all. And there's a couple references, one in John chapter 1, verse 45, and one in John chapter 6, verse 42. They're indirect. They just list his name. It's almost certain that Joseph was not alive during the ministry of Jesus, because after the birth and early childhood, he's not ever mentioned again. So why is so little said about Joseph, the earthly father of our Savior? Was he a nobody? Who is Mary? Truth is, we don't know much more about Mary than we do about Joseph. Our information about the mother of Jesus is largely confined to the infancy narratives of Matthew and Luke, while the remaining references to Mary in the Gospels are few and relatively uninformative. Finally, we see Mary at the foot of the cross in John 19, when she and the beloved disciple John are entrusted by him into each other's care. You remember that. The only other direct New Testament reference to Mary is in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, where she and the other disciples are described as devoting themselves to prayer. The parents of our Lord Joseph and Mary are two relatively unimportant people from an insignificant rural town. If you remember, when Jesus began his ministry, folks asked, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Anything. In other words, claiming to be from Nazareth was like saying you were from Cut and Shoot, Texas. Amen? Amen. So here you have it. Two common places, people. Two common people from an insignificant town in the middle of nowhere. Yet God used them. Why? Why did God choose these two Nazarenes to bring his son into the world? Probably the most important is because they were willing. Mary was willing to be the mother of Jesus, even though it might result in isolation, ridicule, headaches, and pain. Joseph was willing, even though he didn't understand and thought Mary had been unfaithful. God was able to use Mary and Joseph because when he called them, they said yes. Yes. Ordinary people from ordinary places. How about you and me? Most of us are ordinary people from an ordinary place. Please realize that Jesus calls ordinary people. That's who he uses. Anyone with a willing heart. During 40 years of involvement in his church's visitation program, Wilt Durant had led one person to Jesus Christ. You know what they say, if only one person comes to Christ, it's worth all the effort. Right? Amen. When he retired in 1992, he moved to Rogers, Arkansas, and joined Emmanuel Baptist Church. One Sunday, his pastor preached on soul winning, and Durant responded to the invitation and devoted the remainder of his life to winning souls. Since that time, he's prayed with over 600 people to receive Jesus Christ. He isn't casual about his witness. He visits an average of over 60 homes per week. What does he consider the secret to his success? A willing heart. A willing heart. God can and will use anyone who's willing to be used. It's a simple statement. He doesn't need your gifts. He doesn't need your talents. He doesn't need your abilities or your fame. What Jesus needs and wants is your heart, an open, obedient heart. Amen. Carry that home, that thought home with you, saints. Give God your heart and allow him to use you. Remember, the Father uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things when they say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The third surprise of Christmas is Jesus came to an unexpected place. Our text in Luke tells us that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Let's read this in verse 6 through 7. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Since Mary had stayed 3 months with Elizabeth, more than likely they went down to Bethlehem in the last part of her trimester of pregnancy. That's when the social relationships in Nazareth would have grown more and more difficult, as she's shown this baby more and more. Luke also says she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths. The wrapping of Jesus' fragile limbs and claws was common in the ancient world to keep babies protected and snug in place. There were no cute little Carter outfits or Oshkosh jumpers that said, "Daddy's little guy." Nothing like that. No specialty clothing to dress Jesus in. And Luke says they laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In simple, direct language, Luke presents the Christmas story. No tree or lights, no fancy trimming, not even wreaths or candles, just a manger and animals in a too crowded inn. It isn't surprising that there was no room for them in the village inn because of all these people, the number of travelers that had to come to Bethlehem to fill out the census. Mary had to lay her son in a manger. Manger is a feeding trough. If you ever watched a cow at a feeding trough, it's not pretty. But I'm sure Joseph probably filled the manger with hay to make a soft bed. Actually, this mention of the manger is in the basis for the traditional belief that Jesus was born in a stable. Stables were often caves with feeding troughs or mangers carved into the rock walls. And despite popular Christmas card pictures, the surroundings were dark and dirty. Everything pointed to obscurity, poverty, and even rejection. Luke showed the King of Kings born into poor and humble circumstances, born as a human, born to serve, and born to become your Savior who desires now to live in your heart. There's a story about Alex DeMocos in Winnipeg, Canada, told in Reader's Digest. He said, "My mother, a teacher, was having a hard time setting on a suitable role for one of her students in the grade 3 Christmas pageant. Finally, she decided he should be the innkeeper, a role she felt he could handle. All he had to do was tell Joseph there's no room in the inn. Everything went fine at rehearsals, but when Joseph begged for the room for his pregnant wife during the first performance, the lad didn't have the heart to turn him down. To everyone's surprise, he said, 'If it's so urgent, please come in.'" The story is exactly right on the money. Christmas is God promising us that his heart is open to all of us. He will not refuse anybody. He won't turn anyone away. There's always room at heaven's inn. Always room. The story of Christ's birth assures us that Jesus doesn't need everything neat and clean in order to accept someone. Nor does Jesus expect us to try and clean ourselves up before we come to him. He does all the cleaning after we come. And saints, let me remind you, there is no place that is so dirty that Jesus won't come. If he was born in a cave with the cows, the horses, the chickens, then our hearts are not too dirty that he would refuse to come. Amen. Amen. If the Lord lived in a feeding trough, certainly he can come and live in our hearts, folks, if we simply ask. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 11, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You and I don't need to clean up. You and I don't need to dress up. All you need to do is open up and invite Jesus to come in. So what's the surprise of Christmas? Jesus came at an unexpected time. Jesus came to unexpecting people. Jesus came to an unexpected place. That just happens to be the story or the surprise of his second coming. He'll come at an unexpected time. He'll come to unexpecting people. And he'll come in an unexpected place. What if he came today? Are we ready? You can be a surprise this Christmas as well if we give our hearts to the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're an ordinary person and he's been waiting for you to say, I'm willing. I'm willing. I believe during this season, we should look for a new surprise every day. Every day. I believe Jesus has some for us. But I don't want the unexpected time. I'm looking for them today. I'll look for them tomorrow. I'll look for them next week. And I don't want to be an unexpecting person. I think that the conditions are getting right for Jesus to come back. And I don't want it to be an unexpected place. I want it to be our world, our nation, our town, our house, our heart. I don't want to miss Jesus. Every morning I wake up and check on Bonnie. I don't want her gone. I know if anybody's going, she's going. So I reach over. Still there? Jesus didn't come. She fools me sometimes when she can't sleep, though. She gets up and goes in another bedroom. Don't tell her that. Can we expect Jesus to come back? Wouldn't Christmas be a great time?
Yes.
It's almost apropos. It's almost right for him to come back a second time on his birthday. Yeah. Now, I hope you all know that the 25th of December is not really his birthday. But that's the time we celebrate. I think there's speculation, but it's kind of like when he's coming back. Jesus is coming back. He came here for us. He's coming back for us. First thing we'll hear is that trumpet. We'll be gone. Church will be gone. Revelation chapter 4. We're no longer mentioned after that chapter. He says, come up here. Are we ready, folks? Are we ready? That's the question you need to ask yourself over and over again. Stand with me and let's pray. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I know this is going to be understood, but I don't know how we're setting up for this evening, but do we need to have some people stay?
Yes. If you may.